Leafs Nation postgame here. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick alongside me here to walk you through a Leafs 2-1 overtime loss to the New York Rangers. Gord, obviously not the final result they wanted, but there was definitely a lot of positive play to take for the Leafs tonight.
Well, it really was. It's one of those games that goaltending would make a difference. Jack Campbell played really well for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but Igor Shesterkin, right? You outshoot them by margin of pretty well 2-1. Later, though, I will say Campbell came up big. And how about, Brent, everybody loves overtime. I mean, the absurdity of the scoring chances. I don't think Austin Matthews will sleep tonight. That particular opportunity, couldn't put the second chance in. And then 77%, the Maple Leafs were killing them in faceoffs. And of course, wouldn't you know it, the goal is from a faceoff loss and kind of an innocent-looking sloppy play that goes in after the great end-to-end action.
Yeah, you mentioned the overtime there. That is so true. It started off kind of a little slow, the feeling out process. Let me get into the offensive zone. I don't like how this looks. Let me walk it back to the blue line. Pierre Engvall would have been right at home, skating back to his own net in that overtime for the first minute and a half anyways. But then once the game opened up, I think it was that one long stretch pass the Leafs made while the Rangers were changing that really just kind of changed the tenor of that overtime. But you nailed it there. They take care of business in the faceoff circle except when they need to. And, you know, on that specific play, on that specific goal, you're not going to win every single draw. But it's so many times for the last, I don't know, handful of seasons, we've been having conversations about this team where you do so many good things all throughout the game and then it is the mistake you make at the end that costs you. Again, you walk away with a point. It's far from detrimental, but I mean, we go back to the mistakes at the end of periods, and it just feels like this team is still somewhat learning how to kind of, you know, quote unquote, close out games.
Yeah, and really the bigger picture about, I thought last year they learned to close out games more in the regular season. That was a good habit. We didn't see it tonight for them, but you look, one goal per game, you're not going to win a ton of games, but tonight you had all kinds of scoring chances. So we're four games in. You know, Marner and Tavares is just a matter of time. Austin Matthews, boy, he looked exhausted at the end. That's what they talk about when you're not in game shape. It just is a subtle little thing, but boy, it was great to see him back in the lineup. So, you know, those big guns are going to get going at some point. But great offense, just weren't able to finish, weren't able to get goals. Again, the power play, again, all these other things that you hope get back on track.
Yeah, the power play, it looked like it was at least getting back on track early on. You know, I thought the first couple of power plays really showed just, I mean, and again, goes without saying, Austin Matthews back in the fold, and all of a sudden the power play looks more dangerous. I did think there was some of that kind of passive nature kind of leaking into the power play, specifically the third one. Again, though, I thought there was a lot of positive to build from. You know, it's no accident that the top six looks a lot better when Austin Matthews is back in it. And, you know, Alex Kerfoot, I even thought it was a much stronger game from him tonight, kind of put into what is a more normal role on the team for him, where he's not playing that second line center. Again, Matthews is back and everyone just slots in so much more naturally where they should be on this team.
Well, you talk about a finalist for the Hart Trophy. I mean, that's unparalleled for the Toronto Maple Leafs for decades and decades. The Rocket Richard Trophy winner, most goals. Again, you know, these kind of things that you look at Toronto Maple Leaf history and it's a long, long time ago. Somebody kind of reached that rarefied air. So great having him back. And, you know, Brent, we're talking about a game where you had to be happy with the effort. So you're not fully happy with the result. There is that loser point or whatever you want to call it that they get, consolation point, whatever you want to call it. But there's not a lot you can complain about effort-wise and offense-wise. They just didn't finish. And Igor Shesterkin's an interesting case, isn't he? You remember his winning percentage going back to Russia, what was something like 900, right? He was just, I think when he played four-year-old hockey at whatever, the Mighty Might level, like he won 90% of his games and then he was winning in the American Hockey League, an incredible run. And then at the NHL, when he started, it seemed anytime he was in goal, the New York Rangers won.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we'll even, you know, carry it to other New York Rangers goalies. They talked about it a little bit on the broadcast tonight. Alex Georgiev there, he had a couple of huge, huge performances against this team. Obviously not last year because, you know, we didn't play any American teams in the Scotia North Division, but now you've got this goaltending duo. And again, you know, it goes back to Forsberg's performance from Ottawa. We had all of these moments last year where you're watching this team and you're saying, how is every other goaltender, and this this is not a knock on Jack Campbell by any means. He came up huge when they needed him to tonight. But it just seems like, and maybe, Gord, maybe this is just part of having a team with a ton of offensive firepower. It seems like every single goalie seems to have their best night against the Leafs, other than those games where, you know, the Leafs are putting up 5-6. But it seems to me like it's either feast or famine for this offense right now.
Yeah, you're right about that. They have not put up 5 or 6 yet, so they're a high-powered offensive team, and the goaltending's been pretty good against them. Now, the Rangers brings up a point. I keep talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you have Georgiev as well, and I know they're not guys developed through, say, junior hockey or NCAA hockey, came from overseas, but young goaltenders, right? They got young goaltenders coming up, so Henrik Lundqvist moves on, and they've got a couple of guys to replace them. And this is, you know, where we talk about the Leafs having to use the University of Toronto goaltender, what, in the third game of the season, about, you know, where is that goaltender they've drafted that's on the verge?
Yeah, they have, and that you make a great point there, that we think so much when we're talking about this team with the pipeline of forward talent. Where are the defensemen coming from? Is anybody going to join Nick Robertson from the Marlies on this team one day? But the goaltending pipeline, it's not to say that you need to develop, you know, a Shesterkin or a Georgiev, although you'd gladly take it, you'd gladly sign up for that, but you just need those guys to be able to fill in as your backup guy, or maybe be the low-cost backup that could potentially be a guy who's a 1B type for the future. You talked about that a bunch, and I think it's a really, really good point. You know, we talked about Matthews a little bit. I just need to dial back onto him. You know, we all know what it's like to watch that guy play, have him in the lineup, but he's just so special of an offensive player. It took half a shift for you to just see it, to remember it. The life in his legs, the life when he shoots the puck. There are a lot of talented players in this league. There are a lot of talented players on this team. But seeing that guy tonight, it was just such a great reminder, a perfect picture of just how special he can be without even getting the goal.
You know, Brent, there was a quirky stat his rookie year, which, of course, he won the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year. You think of that year, him, Marner, and Nylander were all Rookies of the Month. The only time an NHL team has had three different players be the Rookie of the Month in the same season. I mean, wow, pretty heady times. But so he played every game, and he had at least one shot on goal all 82 games, and actually through the playoffs against the Washington Capitals, he did as well. So the next year, I can remember when he missed a game, and I was going to then Air Canada Center, now Scotiabank Arena, and I was saying, you know what? I'm really bummed. I've never been this bummed going to a Toronto Maple Leaf game, and I've seen some great players play, but never been that bummed knowing a player was not going to be in the lineup, as I felt that time when Austin Matthews wasn't. And I still feel that all the years later. I mean, he is that guy. He is that superstar player. Superstar is a term that's overused too often. He's the real deal.
Yeah, there are a lot of stars in a lot of sports that get called superstars, but he absolutely is one. You know, what do you now? We've talked so much about the, you know, how the top six is going to look, and where does Nick Ritchie slot in, and what's the best mix there? You know, it's one game. I would expect Sheldon Keefe sees a little more time with this before he goes away from it. But what did you make of Nick Ritchie's first look with the real first line?
I thought it was better. I thought it was better. I just think everybody had their game up, you know, better. I think a lot of people have been a little bit quick to get down. Well, that's the peril. We all know that. That's any sport, when you start the season, the first, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, team and his individuals are way, way, way over scrutinized. So, yeah, his first 3 games, he has to bring it to a different level. He hadn't fit in. And now you're seeing more, if everybody's healthy, what you're going to get in the first 2 lines. So I thought it was a better game for Nick Rich.
Yeah, I still go back to wondering how natural the fit is there, although the guy I've been clamoring to give his spot to, Michael Bunting, has looked perfectly at home, especially with Nylander and Tavares there. So I wouldn't want to split that up, and I just think given the other options up there, you're probably going to see Richie get at least a couple more, or, you know, another week or so, if not more time than that, for a crack. Although the thing with Sheldon Keefe is, the thing with Sheldon Keefe is that he's so unafraid to experiment. I was a little surprised you weren't seeing other guys get looks with that. I know they were at one point went with Matthews, with Nylander and Tavares, but, you know, Alex Kerfoot, I thought, had a pretty strong game tonight, and I wouldn't have minded seeing him get a look, you know, occasionally up there with Matthews and Marner.
Yeah, and you know, your distant, I got to give your distant family relative, Michael Bunting, all kinds of credit, because, you know, as much as we talk about it's unfair, you know, for Nick Ritchie or whomever to, after just whatever, four games, to make an indelible mark, give Bunting credit. He's done it. I mean, you know, who knows? There's still 78 games to go, so there's a lot more there. But Kerfoot's an interesting guy. I have always liked him. He just, you know, like, he came with Tyson Barrie, and we know what happened with Tyson Barrie in the end of the Mike Babcock era. And then, you know, then part of it's on Tyson Barrie as well. He just couldn't get that. You know, it looked like he was going to kill it. He was going to score tons of power play points. He was going to get a Dougie Hamilton-type free agent contract, and we know what happened. And I think, to a degree, same thing with Kerfoot, because year after year, I mean, going back to that year, what just that I mentioned before, the three different Leafs were Rookie of the Months, it'd been a pretty nice place to play in the regular season. And it wasn't. It wasn't. You know, Jason Spezza, Babcock tried to embarrass him the first game. And, you know, in Kerfoot's case, in a lot of ways, just never really got off on the foot, you know, that we thought. So, I real skilled player, got all kinds of speed. So, I'm with you. He had a real strong game tonight, Brett.
Yeah, and they used him in that kind of third line checking role. I think that, you know, as long as Ilya Mikheyev's out, and that's going to be a while, you're going to see Sheldon Keefe fluctuating with that left side. I mean, we all know Kasha and Kampf, they're kind of tied at the hip. As long as Kasha's in the lineup, he's going to be slotted alongside Kampf. It does feel to me like that's the kind of, you know, promotion job up for grabs in the bottom six there. But, you know, I just thought all four of the lines handled themselves pretty well tonight. You know, I think given what you expect from a first line with Matthews and Marner on it, obviously, you know, they didn't produce, so underwhelming a little, but I thought they created a lot of good things. We've talked about the Bunting line. I'll leave that one alone for now. We just talked about the Kampf line. They always give you really quality minutes. And then I thought the Spezza and Simmons line was really strong tonight as well. It was one of those nights, and you can't have this every night, but it just felt like every line was giving you something.
Yeah, nice balanced attack. You're right about that, Brett. Nice balanced attack tonight. And yeah, like, man, you just see the talent on Marner and Matthews. And how about in overtime, Nylander as well? I mean, just in general, he did it. I got to say, that was a great defensive play during regulation time that's, you know, some fans thought should have been a penalty for sure, maybe even a penalty shot, but a penalty. It looked like Nylander had a breakaway, but the D made a nice play inhibiting him without taking a penalty. And then in overtime, he almost had like a highlight reel goal as well. So I just love it. Those guys were flying. They just weren't able to, you know, finish it. The biggest reason was because of Igor Shesterkin. But it really gave you a taste of what very few teams have up front, that kind of talent.
I didn't know your nickname for me was Some Fans, because I may or may not have been texting our producer, Sam McKee. How is that not a penalty shot? Look at what they called on Tavares in Ottawa the other night. And I agree with you. You know, that was my blush reaction. But when I actually get a look at the play, you're allowed to stick check players. But this is going to be a thing, and we're going to have this conversation all year long. I try not to have it much of – I try not to lean on this as a conversation topic. But the inconsistency with the officiating, it's not even so much an egregious call here or a really bad call there. It's just there seems to be no rhyme or rule. I mean, Marner got hauled down right near the front of the net near the tail end of the game. No call. Okay, I'm actually okay with that. I don't want the whistle being blown 50 times a game, but it just seems like there is really no rhyme or reason to what does and doesn't get called.
Yeah, you know, and they haven't they have not redone the whole rule book. They've added more of a crackdown on cross-checking, which really hasn't been the issue. It's been more of those kind of plays that you're talking about. Jake Muzzin's was a good penalty call late in the game against Artemi Panarin. But yeah, I agree with you again, because it's been so few games, and it just seems that there have been a disproportionate number of those kind of questionable scratcher headers. I mean, there was one game in particular, I think, has kind of set the template, because it just made no sense. It just made no sense. And then every other game, there's probably been one or two that have left us scratching our heads.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like, I'm not sitting here saying every referee should get every call perfect. It's just some semblance of consistency. And I don't even know that it was, you know, sometimes I'm forewarning all of you out there, and you as well, Gord. There will be shows on here where I am convinced the refs were biased against the Leafs. I'm not saying that tonight. I am not saying that. It was just a complete and utter lack of consistency. You know, before we shine a little more light on Jack Campbell, because he was incredible tonight, despite the shots being, you know, far, far more balanced in the Leafs' favor. I do want to talk about Morgan Rielly. I thought he had a strong game. He showed a ton of jump in that overtime. And, you know, I just sometimes feel as though he is not the forgotten man, because he's talked about a ton, but we just think of that blue line as set now, and he's just being such a crucial part of it. You know, he still may be the best blue liner on the team for my money, and I thought he really, really comported himself well tonight.
Oh, I absolutely agree or whatever, but he is the best blue liner on the team, no question. It's funny, Adam Fox there, and then Adam Fox is an RFA, so that's a different scenario. But in the case of Morgan Rielly as a UFA, and a lot was made on the weekend about John Klingberg of Dallas, that he's another guy that will be a UFA. There's not a lot of UFA defensemen out there. They're hot commodities. Alex Petrangelo 2 years ago, you saw what he got in Vegas, what Dougie Hamilton got in New Jersey. Now, again, that is down the road. The hope is it's a great scenario, a great playoff run, and the Toronto Maple Leafs have what Morgan Rielly wants to stay here. So I agree. I loved his game tonight. I just thought the big guns were the big guns. They just couldn't finish it. You just saw all that, and I've always liked him as a leader, Morgan Rielly, and I was pleased with his play, because 2 years ago or 3 or whatever it was, he got his game to a certain level, and it was just a tier below Norris Trophy, and he, you know, it's kind of not been quite there the last two seasons. We've seen glimmers of it. We know there's been injury issues, but when he's going, he can skate, he can do all kinds of things.
Now, something we talked about when we were doing the game on Saturday night was the kind of minutes allocation to the defenseman. And I've got the minutes up in front of me here. So Dermott and Sandin both finish at 11 minutes. Sandin's 11:46, Dermott's 11:22. Every other D is above 22 minutes or more. Now, maybe part of that is the 3-on-3 at the end. Obviously, you're only putting a handful of guys out there. Obviously, it's a tight game. But what does that say to you about, or I guess, does that say anything to you about Sandin and Dermott, or is this simply just tight game? You're going to roll your big four.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're the same. I can't really remember. I mean, I know Dermott had a bad giveaway in the third period there, but I can't remember like.
I was convinced that was going to end up in the back of the net, and that would have been the story of the game, because we've seen that happen for him before in the playoffs. But yeah, sorry to cut you off there, Gord.
Yeah, no sweat. I mean, because you're right. Those gain way too much. Like the Sergio Momesso shot through Alan Bester's legs way back when, probably way before you were born. But it's what people remember, those playoff moments. So I think, Brent, in this case, keep in mind Saturday they had a 2-0 lead. So so Sheldon Keefe was able to roll the D a little bit more and give them a little bit more ice time. You know, here they were down, then tied it, and it was a close game throughout. So I think maybe that's why the minutes were down a little bit less than Saturday. But at least it's not like 5 or 6 minutes. But, you know, but in this case, you know, and they're not playing till Friday. They have, you know, 3 days off now. This is a pretty good gap in their schedule early on. So I think all those things he keeps in mind when he plays other guys 22, 23 minutes.
Yeah, I do wonder if for a player like Matthews, he would have loved to have had the game Wednesday or Thursday. You know, he's been chomping at the bit trying to get in here, and then he gets in, he performs really well. Again, not finding the back of the net, but it just, you know, the layoff is going to be maybe more reassuring for everyone else, but for a guy like Matthews, I imagine it's going to feel like 10 days.
Yeah, again, it's like the average person when they've been sick or something like that, and they just try to get back to work, and you're a little bit out of there. His is different. Obviously, you can work on the aerobic and others, but it's not quite the same as game action. But I probably it's a good thing he gets 3 days off now. I would think, just kind of get some practices in and had that one game under his belt. Again, he was so gassed in overtime, but I you know, we quickly go, okay, he's not in game shape, but I think it just was those shifts were kind of long, and that was just an incredible play, giving it his all. I don't know how Shesterkin kept it out, particularly, again, repeating what I said off the top, because it's just in our head, that second shot, and nor does Austin Matthews. That may be as outwardly emotionally he's been about missing, because he doesn't miss very often, but about, you know, missing what he felt should be a sure goal.
I really hope for his sake he's not sitting at 49 goals at the end of the season, because that one's burned in his brain now until Friday, but it's going to creep back in if he ends up at 49 or just shy of that 50-goal mark that he's been always trying to fit. It's like that one feels like it's definitely going to stick in your craw. One last thing I wanted to get to before we hear from Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe. Jack Campbell, it's one thing to stand on your head and have the night Shesterkin had for the Rangers when you're facing nearly 40 shots, and that is a challenge in and of itself. But it is a completely different challenge, and I'd argue maybe one just as tough, to make the four or five big saves you need when you only face about 20 shots on any given night. And that's kind of the workload Campbell had. He faced 23 shots tonight, but he made some huge, huge saves. And I think especially for a guy like Campbell, who does not have this track record, who's had these long experiences of being the guy, the starting goalie, it felt like that was really huge for him to be able to come through, not in a game where he has to make 50 saves, where he just has to make five big ones. And again, I know they lost, but he was tremendous.
Well, I wonder what the scoring chances are, Brent, because I know at the end he had a lot of scoring chances against. I love that the crowd now is chanting the Soupy name. That's kind of fun. A little bit different. It used to be Freddie, and now it's Soupy. So they're getting in and appreciating it. And you're right about that, because even though out goaltended shots wise, when you look at it, big saves, key saves, and some key scoring chance saves late in the game to preserve that overtime tie and get them to overtime. I mean, I know, you know, the Leafs had some great chances on Shesterkin, but you're right, Jack Campbell, another solid effort tonight. And that's good to say, because we're hoping to say it a lot. I have no idea what the Peter Mrazek situation is just initially. You and I don't feel good about it, hearing the type of injury, and also adding to that, knowing his history the last couple of years that he's battled those type of things.
Yeah, they said at least 2 weeks, I believe, on Saturday night, and that feels to me, again, you never know, but it could easily be the type of thing in 2 weeks where, yeah, it's another 2 weeks. Let's not get our hopes up there. We hope that's not the case, but obviously the way Jack Campbell played tonight, the Leafs aren't 2-2 in dire straits, especially with the long break. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Brent Gunning. Let's listen to Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe here on Leafs Nation postgame.
You got everything out of Austin tonight but a goal.
Yeah, he played well. He was all over it. He was all around the net. 16 shot attempts, I think 8 on net. That keeps happening. They're going to go in bunches.
Do you have a set minute, in your mind, of how much you wanted to play him tonight, or what sort of feel of what?
Yeah, I spoke with Austin this morning just about how he was feeling, and just let him know that my intention was to just play him as I normally would. And I think he was his feedback was that he expected no less. So that's what we did. I think obviously we had some really long power plays that got his minutes up there really quickly. And then he probably could have done without overtime. But, I think it's good for him to go through that tonight. We don't play again until Friday. So I think it was the right way to go about it, just to keep putting him out there and get him to push through that. And I said, I thought he was very effective throughout the game, despite the fact that naturally, that would be a challenging night for him from a conditioning perspective.
What did you think of how the power play looked?
I thought it looked good. It generated chances. I think we want to be more dangerous. I think there's other layers and other steps it can get to. I thought we saw, like I expected with Austin's presence there today, it changed some of the dynamics and some of the looks and some of the options and how things flowed. And then we had so much zone time as well that the guys started moving around and we got some of our best looks off of that. So I thought that there was some positives there. He needed to go in the net, and obviously it could have made a huge difference for us today, not just to obviously one more goal we win the game, but just has a chance to really build positive momentum for us. And it did that in terms of spending the time in the zone, but a power play needs to produce, and that's really what it comes down to. But it's a good first step here today, I think, for those guys with their first game action together with that alignment.
Do
Sheldon, the two losses now, the goaltenders, I mean, on both thirds or the other side have stood in their head more or less. So how can you guys move past that frustration that's serving on? And I don't know if you're conservative, but it's still something to get past.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, getting frustrated is a waste of time. It's a useless emotion for us, especially in this early going. We've got to be encouraged by the fact we're generating as many looks as we are. Today is probably, you know, the most that we've generated, you know, in the games thus far. Didn't go in for us. We're all over it. Goalie was good. Still think there's things that we can do differently and do better, you know, to make it harder on the goaltender. You know, but we generated more than enough offense to win the game today, but we didn't because we didn't get it over the line. That's the name of the game.
How do you feel Richie fit in with Austin and Mitch there in terms of chemistry? Where are they at?
I'd have to watch it back closely to, you know, pick up little things like that. But like I was, like we were talking about here, Austin was all around it today. He generated a ton. So it's a sign to me that the line was working well. For a guy like Richie, that'd be difficult to, you know, you're playing on that line. You know that you're going to have Austin and Mitch that are going to be kind of playing off of each other, and he's trying to find his place on the line and how that works. That's something that takes some time. And then also one of the dangers that, you know, I spoke to the team a little bit tonight is just with Austin being back, the, you know, the natural part of that comes with the fact that guys are going to start looking for him over passing and changing their game a little bit. We were just trying to talk to the guys about let's just continue to do the things that we've done. Austin makes us a better team, but let's not adjust or change too much. So I think that, but still, I could just sense it that all the players, whether it was Richie or the D who were on the ice, guys are trying to find him. I mean, that kind of stuff I think will sort itself out over time. I've liked a lot of it about Mitch's game. I know it hasn't gone over the line. He's had really good chances, but he's generated a ton. Again, I'll reference Austin having as many opportunities and as many looks as he did today. Mitch is the facilitator in a lot of that. He's created a lot of scoring chances for us. He's had a number of chances himself. So I've liked a lot about his game. He's been very good in the penalty kill for us as well. So lots of positives happening with him. I know that, you know, we haven't scored enough goals at 5-on-5 here as a team. so we've got a number of players, I think, throughout our lineup that, you know, we think can break out and then the offense can start to come. But we're not there yet, obviously, and that was the difference tonight.
3-on-3, as crazy as you remember it, especially going into the last couple of minutes of it?
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, they're not always as crazy as that. They don't always last as long as they did today, but that was fun. I mean, it would have been nice to see it go in. We clearly had our own chances, didn't go in, and then that's the nature of overtime. The other team's going to get their chance and went in for them.
The energy in the building just in that overtime, it felt kind of normal.
Yeah, it did, and I mean, it's maybe it's just been because it's been so long for me, but it just, that was, whether it was, you know, the way they're getting behind Soupy and his saves and the energy in the building through that overtime and the different parts like the Morgan Riley shot block and things like that.
There is the Leafs head coach, Sheldon Keefe-Gord. Always tons of fun doing the post game with you. We'll be back Friday night, back down at the rink. Early puck drop, 6 o'clock against the Sharks. The Leafs will be looking for a bounce back after their 2-1 overtime loss at home against the Rangers. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Leafs Nation Postgame.